I will not bless you with my voice. I will spare you from my voice. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that this is your day and you allow us to be a part of it. Holy Spirit, please take out every heart that is here, that you may do the surgery that is necessary today. By the Word of God, enabling us to rise above all adversity and hardship and trial, realizing that Jesus Christ is more than Savior, He is our one who conquers all. In fact, He has conquered everything that needs to be conquered. I want to thank you for the love of God that is here this morning. I want to thank you that we can share that love with one another. I want to thank you that we can pray for one another. I want to thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can walk in each other's shoes and feel the tears of others. Lord Jesus, there's nothing sweeter and there's nothing better than being in your house today, learning more of your word, that we may grow in Christ's likeness, that we may mature more in Jesus Christ. I thank you for the word of God this morning and what it's going to teach us, that we will be better Christians for it. Father, I thank you for being here. I feel your presence. I thank you for the song we just sung. A song of prayer, thanksgiving, to let you know how much we love you and how much we care. Now give us spiritual understanding of your spiritual word. And by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, may we make spiritual commitment and investment as we continue to live as your children. This is your service. You do what you want to with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 1. You'll notice the title is The Fear of God. I hope you have something to write with. There's some interesting notes that you might want to take this morning. Let's begin in verse 1, chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Notice that first word, guard. I want you to underline the word guard and write the word protect. Write the word protect. Guard your steps. Underline the word steps. And it means to guard your ways and your plans. Now, I want you to put this all together, and that's what we're fixing to do. So I want you to listen very closely. Guard your steps. What does it mean? It means protect yourself. Protect yourself from your ways and from your plans. Guard your steps and focus very specifically on what you are doing as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the careless, underline that word careless, it means hasty or ill-considered, irreverent sacrifice of fools. Underline the word fools, and I'm going to give it to you in the Hebrew. Now, it's going to be like a slap in the face, but you'll get over it. Here it goes. The word fools in the Hebrew. When you enter the house of God, keep your ears open and shut your mouth. Keep your ears open and shut your mouth. And draw near to listen rather than to offer the careless or irreverent sacrifice of fools. For they are too ignorant to know they are doing evil. Do not be hasty with your mouth, speaking careless words or vows, or impulsive in thought to bring up a matter before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few, for the dreams come through much effort, and the voice of the fool through many words. Well, here Solomon considers the religious side of life, and listen closely. Solomon says that fools do a lot of talking. Solomon says, you're a fool. Underline that word fool. We've underlined once, and let's do it again. Solomon says, you're a fool. Well, here's some definitions of the word fool here. He means you're without understanding, without understanding. Also, to be a fool, it is an act of disobedience to think you can tell God what to do. It is an act of disobedience to think you can tell God what to do. And here's the last little side note. God's wisdom is infinitely superior to that of human beings. God is infinite. He is unlimited. Human beings are finite. They are very, very limited. So Solomon says that fools do a lot of talking. And if you're doing a lot of talking, you're not going to do much listening. Solomon says you're a fool if you think you can go to church to tell God what to do. Your brain doesn't have as much to offer him as you might think it does. So be quick to hear from God's divine perspective and slow to speak your mind. You might want to add these words, your ways and your plans. Now let's look at verses 4 through 7. When you make a vow or a pledge to God, do not put off paying for it. For God takes no pleasure in fools who thoughtlessly mock him. Pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than that you should vow and not pay. Do not allow your speech to cause you to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest of God, that it was a mistake. Underline the word mistake, and this is what it means in the Hebrew language. It means failure to think something through. Failure to think something through. Why should God be angry because of your voice or words and destroy the work of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams, dreams are ideals and intentions, and in a flood of words, there is worthlessness. Rather reverently, fear God and worship him with all filial respect, knowing who he is. I've got a question here I want you to write down. Is your worship serious? Is your worship serious? Please listen. If yes, then your words are dependable. If your worship is not serious, then your words are not dependable. They end up being the words of a fool. Well, notice number one under what we just read, verses 4 through 7. Fulfill what you vow to God or don't vow at all. Why? Because God takes a vow very, very seriously. Number two, don't take your spiritual commitment casually. Number three, do we need God's supernatural intervention in our lives as His children? The answer is yes. Number four, don't resist God by failing to take Him seriously. Then verses 8 and 9. If you see the oppression of the poor, and you're seeing that today, you hear about it, you see it on TV, you know it's taking place, and you question it day in and day out and say, how are they getting away with it? Well, let's read a little more about it. If you see the oppression of the poor and the denial of justice and righteousness in the province, do not be shocked. I want you to underline the word shocked and write, these things flow naturally from our human nature. These things flow naturally from our human nature, so do not be shocked at the sight of corruption. Underline the words of corruption, and it means finding ways to squeeze more money
out of you. Is our government doing that today? It has been. It will continue to do so. For a higher official watches over another official. Are you seeing that on TV? And are you hearing about that today? It has been going on since Solomon's day. It has not stopped. It is not going to stop. It is going to continue. That's how rotten things are. And there are higher ones over them looking out for one another. After all, a king who cultivates the field is an advantage to the land. Now, what is he actually saying right there? The king himself. Let's just go ahead and write the word president. Because when you talk about Biden, you connect his family that is making a huge profit off of what we just read. They have been and will continue to do so. It is not going to stop in this life. I hate to say that, but that's the truth. So the king himself profits from the field of the oppressed. Now I want you to go to top of page 2. In a fallen world, those in power often do evil things. Is that true or false? All right, number 2. What was true then is still true today. One corrupt government official protects another and justice is denied. Again, we know that is taking place. It infuriates us. Number 3, will the wicked always prosper? The answer is no, a big no. A day of reckoning is coming. Psalm 73, if you'll read that, it'll tell you all about it. Now you may be wondering, Terry, what in the world's going on with you? Well, you'll notice the title here is The Serpent's Blood. The Serpent's Blood. Now I want you to listen very closely. There's a lot of things that we're going to pull out of here. What do you know about snakes? To me, a snake is not dead until his head is blown off from his body or separated from his body in some way or another. Don't come at me and saying, I have this snake and I promise you he's dead. I've never shot anybody in my life, but if you come to me and jack with me with a dead snake, I might just do it. Okay, here we go. So what do you know about snakes? They are cold-blooded. Why is that important? You're warm-blooded. And because of that, you can run and keep running. But a snake, being cold-blooded, is limited in its ability to endure, to keep going. Therefore, you can outlast it. What did I just say in the spiritual realm? You can outlast Satan. You can outlast Satan. What does he work with? He works with evil. Is evil cold-blooded? Yes. Can evil actually gain a high hand over you? Is evil more powerful than the enabling power of the Holy Spirit? No, it is not. Keep all of this in mind. So in the scriptures, the serpent is a symbol of what? Of evil. Satan, of evil. Why? Because they provide a representation of evil. Now, snakes mostly move by twisting. So the nature of evil is to do what? Is to twist. A lie is the twisting of the truth. The impure is the twisting of the pure. And evil is the twisting of the good. If snakes are cold-blooded, then, so in some way, is evil? The answer is yes. Evil is cold-blooded, which means though evil may have its day, its victories, it's time to move and strike, it remains cold-blooded. Therefore, it can never endure. Therefore, underline that, therefore, it can never endure, no matter how powerful the evil may be, no matter how triumphant and unstoppable it may seem, it cannot last. Why? It is cold-blooded. Hatred is cold-blooded. Slander is cold-blooded. Oppression is cold-blooded. All evil is cold-blooded. And so the power of evil is only, listen, for the short term and the momentary. Its days are numbered, and in the long run, it always fails. But the good is not cold-blooded. So in the end, the good will always outlast the evil. Therefore, persevere in the good. Keep going in what is true. Keep standing for what is right. And you will overcome and prevail in the end. Application. In the face of whatever evil, trouble, attack, or sin you're dealing with, don't give in. Don't give up. Press on in the good. Now let's look at Matthew. There's a little correction. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Matthew 24, 12 instead of 13 right there. Because lawlessness is increased. Is lawlessness increasing as we gather here today? It is. Is it going to stop, and is it going to get better? Well, according to Matthew chapter 24, it is not going to stop. It is not going to get better. We're going to continue having this lawlessness, all right? Because lawlessness is increased and increasing. The love of most people will grow cold. Now, I've got a few words to define. Look at the word lawlessness. The word lawlessness means without law. So there is a time coming when there's going to be very little law or no law is going to exist. So what are you viewing today? What are you hearing today? Let's really shut down the police. We don't need law enforcement in our society anymore. Well, is that going to continue being the thought in the minds of those that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? They're living by the old sin nature. They're living by cold-blooded lawlessness. So it means without law. It means utter disregard for God's law. What is God's law? It is His written law. What is the written law of God? It is the Word of the living God. And also the living Word. Who is the living Word of God? It is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. So it's going to be an utter disregard for God's law, His written law, and His living Word. Then you'll notice the two words, is increased. Is increased means will increase to maximum capacity. Now put that in your pipe and smoke it. Increasing to maximum capacity. We have not seen the full force of evil yet, but it is coming. It is behind the curtain, ready for the curtain to be drawn by Satan himself, and it is going to come out and make itself known. It will increase to maximum capacity. Is God going to allow this? Yes. Is God going to control this to a certain point? The answer is yes. All right? Now, notice the next phrase. Most people. Look at the word most. The word most in the Greek says great in number. Great in number. Most people, great in number, will grow cold. What's going to grow cold? It's going to be love. And here's what it means. To diminish significantly. A diminishing sense of life. Lacking passion, lacking feelings, and so on. Now, I want you to look at verse 13, Matthew 24, 13. I wrote that down at the bottom of my page, but you can look it up in your Bible, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. You should be familiar with this scripture, and you should understand it. But the one who endures to the end of what? The end of the seven-year tribulation period. What happens at the end of the seven-year tribulation period? Well, we're getting ready for the 1,000-year reign of Christ, which is going to be the millennium. But the one who endures. Now, will people be saved during the 7-year tribulation period? The answer is yes. Many are going to die because of their acceptance of Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. But many are going to live on. They are going to endure. And I want you to listen to something else. Turn to page 3, at the top of page 3. People get this mixed up, but you shouldn't. Here we go. People will be saved during the 7-year tribulation period. The tribulation period will begin after the rapture of the church, because in Revelation we do not find in chapter 4 on mention of the church. All right, now pay close attention. A, under 1, people will be saved during the 7-year tribulation period. A, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now listen closely what's in parentheses, and we'll make a correction. Which is not a reference, it's not reverence, but it's his word reference. Which is not a reference to salvation. I have had people tell me, Terry, if you endure the 7-year tribulation, the Bible says you're going to be saved. That's not what it says. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Which is not a reference to salvation, but to physical deliverance. All right? In other words, believers who endure to the end of the 7-year tribulation will be spared physical death and enter the millennium. Now, did you notice what we just read? Those that come out of the 7-year tribulation as Christians are going to step into the 1,000-year reign, the millennium of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be there. You're going to see Him. You're going to be in short distance of Him. He is going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. Why is that so? Because not all, now listen to this, not all that are going to be born in the tribulation. Will babies be born in the millennial? The answer is yes. Now get this. Those saved that walk out of the 7-year tribulation into the millennial, they will enter the millennial in a what kind of body? A physical body. Now, having a physical body, then they're going to reproduce. And when babies are born, guess what? They're going to be born with an old sin nature. Write this down. Salvation will not be automatic in the millennium. Salvation of God will not be automatic in the millennium, because there's going to be an old sin nature that is going to have to be dealt with, because these babies are coming from a mom and dad that are in the flesh just like you and me. Now, if you don't know it or not, the old sin nature is passed down through the seed of man. So therefore, every child born in the millennium is going to have to make a choice to receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. It will not come automatically. All right, back to the printout, if you will. So the one who endures to the end will be saved, which is not a reference to salvation, but physical deliverance. In other words, believers who endure to the end of the tribulation, notice believers on earth, what? Will be spared physical death and enter the millennium, 1,000-year reign, in spite of the horror on earth during the tribulation. Will it be an easy place? Will it be a horrible place? You're going to pray, you know what, if you're a Christian, Lord, you saved me. Now let's get on with it. John chapter 1, verse 5. The light shines on in the darkness, and the darkness did not understand it, or overpower it, or appropriate it, or absorb it, and it is unreceptive to it. The darkness of the world is a hostile power. Do we have a hostile power that is loose at this very moment, but yet on the leash of God? Is God in control of this hostile power? Can God use this hostile power to bring about His agenda? The answer is absolutely yes. The darkness of the world is a hostile power full of resistance to the true light. The shining of the light in the darkness is therefore always an invasion of the territory held by the darkness, a challenge of the power of darkness, a battle to destroy this power. This is the light shining in the darkness. Can the darkness shine in the light? No, that can't happen. It's not going to happen. When Jesus Christ says He is the light, the darkness cannot step into Him, into the light, in any form or fashion. That's why when you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's not only your Lord and Savior, He is your light. He is the light of the world. He is the light that we have in every believer in Jesus Christ. So Satan can play around you all he wants. He can play the games. But he cannot penetrate the light that Jesus Christ is. Okay, back to the reading. Now this is the light, second paragraph, shining in the darkness. Shining in the darkness. This darkness cannot invade the light or put it out. This light is never affected by the darkness. This light, Jesus Christ, is the eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. He has always existed, and that will never cease. Unconquerable life of the eternal Word. Jesus is that Word, and it shines and shines in triumphant power every moment of every day, also in eternity. He has never ceased at any moment to be the triumphant power that we read of Him in the Word of the living God. He has never ceased to be the light that we read of Him in the Word of the living God. I tell you what, I'm glad to have Jesus Christ as my precious Lord and Savior, to know that when evil comes, what's going to happen? It can cause misery in your life, but evil cannot penetrate the light you have, Jesus Christ, living on the inside of you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You as You teach us from the Word of God about You, about Your coming, about sin, about who is in control of everything all the time, who is the sovereign God of everything, that our living God of the Bible is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. I am very thankful that the Bible tells us that our God is not dead. He never has been. He is not today. He's never going to be. He is the living God, and nothing in this world that exists can change it. Lord Jesus, thank You for being here. Thank You for enlightening us in a spiritual way, so we may live more powerfully in a spiritual way in Your spiritual kingdom. Father, I pray that You'll give us the ability to share this. Give us the wisdom, Lord, when we need clarity. And I just pray, I thank You for these people that have a Bible. They open the Bible. They look at the Bible. They're interested in it. They love the Word of the living God. And they believe everything that it has to say. Father, I pray that You will empower them as only You can, to stand, to not take a step backwards, but to stand and go forward with all the armor that You have provided. As we fight our spiritual battles one at a time, or maybe two at a time, in every day that You allow us to live. Thank You so much for Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord and Savior. And thank You that He's coming back again. And you know, it may be soon. We won't be surprised. So I pray that we'll be willing and ready at the drop of a hat. It doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter who. Share Jesus Christ and let them know how precious they are to Jesus Christ. And He has died and He has paid their sin debt in full. And if they'll just receive Him, He'll give them the most precious thing in their life, and that is salvation from Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. Now this is your moment. This is your time of service. Work it as you see fit. In Jesus' blessed name, pray. Amen. Let's stand.